even in the midst of the hard things, we can have a lighter burden because if we're not carrying it on our own. Christ is with us. He invites us to come to Him. God, the creator of the universe, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, says, come to me.
Welcome to the Know Why podcast. I'm your host, Liberty McCarter. For many of us, it's not enough to know what people say about life's most important questions. We also want to know why. Each week, Know Why tackles tough questions on topics ranging from spirituality to current events. While we approach these issues from a Christian perspective, we discuss diverse opinions and ultimately dive into what the research says. Are you ready to know why? Let's get started. Welcome to the Know Why podcast. We are wrapping up our Know About Jesus series, and today we're going to discuss a topic that I think is relevant for a lot of us. Hopefully, it will also offer a lot of hope for you at the end as well. Specifically, how did Jesus address anxiety and grief? And today we have a wonderful guest who's going to talk about this with us, and I'm so happy to have her. Her name is Lauren Green McAfee. Thank you so much for joining the podcast, Lauren.
Thanks so much for having me.
Lauren is the founder and visionary of Stand for Life and also serves as the ministry director at Hobby Lobby. Lauren is the author of Only One Life, Not What You Think, Legacy Study, and Created in the Image of God. She is currently pursuing a PhD in ethics and policy. Lauren previously worked for her father, Steve Green, while he founded Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C., serving as curator, artifact collection manager, and director of community engagement. Lauren and her husband, Michael, are happily married with two fierce and feminine girls, Zion and Zara. Again, thank you for being here, Lauren. And so we are going to talk about a book that she recently wrote with her husband, Michael, that was released last year called Beyond Our Control, Let Go of Unmet Expectations, Overcome Anxiety, and Discover Intimacy with God. I can already recommend this book, which we will link on knowwhypodcast.com. It's very good. And so, Lauren, just again, thank you for being willing to speak about these things. I know these are hard and vulnerable topics. This is an important topic for our listeners. So would you mind sharing just a bit about your story and why you and your husband decided to write Beyond Our Control?
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a joy to be with you. So thanks again for having me. I think that Michael and I, my husband Michael, we decided to write a book with the title Beyond Our Control because we walked through so many circumstances in a short period of time that we realized were completely outside of our control. And as we were navigating these difficult circumstances, these pain points, these challenges that were coming at us, we realized, kind of reflecting back on that, just how desperate we were to try and grasp at control in the midst of those pain points. And that kind of made us realize just the reality that control and this concept of wanting to control things in our lives really play in each of our lives. And so for Michael and I personally, that meant a lot of our situations were wrapped up around our kids. So Michael and I got married when we were seniors in college. So we finished our senior year out together. We were at the University of Oklahoma. And we got married, got settled into some jobs, and then started thinking about growing our family. And I grew up in a family that was involved in adoption and foster care. And so that had always been something that I wanted us to consider for our future children. And so whenever Michael and I were wanting to begin pursuing growing our family, we started with pursuing adoption and started down the adoption path and realized that was not going to play out the way that I had hoped. We kind of thought, like, it's how you do the paperwork, you do all the home studies, you get everything approved, and then you wait until a child enters your home. And that just wasn't how it worked out for us. We were pursuing an international adoption, and the country we were pursuing ended up closing its program once we had been waiting in the program for 3 years. Mm. And so then we tried to switch to a different country, and it was not working out. And so we were over 5 years into the adoption process and nowhere near bringing home a child. So we, in that time, began also pursuing having children biologically. and realized that infertility was going to be our story. And so we're years now into infertility and still have not been able to have children biologically. So whenever we finally did, nearly 7 years into the international adoption process, we finally brought home our daughter Zion from China. And it was, you know, years and years and years of just longing for and praying for children and then finally having our daughter. And she was home with us for 6 weeks when she was then diagnosed suddenly with cancer. So we felt like God had finally answered this prayer and this just this deep longing was finally realized. And then all of that was kind of at risk with our daughter's cancer diagnosis. So completely beyond our control, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, with cancer, there was nothing. I mean, we're not doctors. We can't medically help fix cancer, and not all cancers have a cure. Thankfully, Zion's was a treatable cancer. And so it was such a circumstance that we had to walk that we were just completely relying on the Lord and other people, doctors, to help care for our daughter. Thankfully, she did go into remission. And so once we kind of settled into life, back to normal with Zion and our family, then 1 month after she went into remission, COVID hit. And so then, again, the whole world now is faced with a situation totally beyond our control where life was upside down and just no one knew how long this was going to last. And so again, no control there. And then in the middle of COVID, we began pursuing adoption again and got a placement of a child, a baby boy that we birth mom chose us to parent. And so we met her, we walked alongside her. We once her baby was born and ready to leave the hospital, we brought him home into our family. And so we had a son. And a couple months into the adoption process with our son, we came to find that there was going to be some complications with the legal process. And then COVID was delaying all the court hearings. So we had our son Ezra in our home for 12 months before the courts finally heard his case. And then in a very unusual decision, the judge determined that he was going to give someone else full custody. And so we, in a matter of hours, had to say goodbye to our son, who had been in our home since he was born, called us mom and dad. He was Zion's brother. And then in, like I said, hours, we said goodbye and have not seen or heard from him since. And again, that was completely beyond our control because it was all up to a judge that we had never met, who didn't know us, didn't know our son, didn't, you know, the judge that ruled on our case had actually never ruled on an adoption case before. He was new to the bench that handles these type of cases. And he left that bench shortly after he ruled on our case. So, because of these crazy circumstances that we couldn't control, you know, we just had a very unusual ruling that we had to live with. So in all of these circumstances that we couldn't control, we had to navigate, okay, what does that mean about the God that we believe has control, that he's having these circumstances happen and we're having to navigate them. And it was really a faith journey for us and grappling with the really very little control that we do have over things that come up in our lives. And for anyone that's listening, I'm sure they can think of their own circumstances in their lives that were usually the pain points in life for these circumstances that they could not control. Otherwise, they would have tried to make things go differently, right?
Yeah.
And so what do we do whenever we realize our own lack of control and have to grapple with the God that is in control? So that's why we wrote this book. Was we, it's kind of, we share our story and some of those twists and turns, but then also try and dive theologically into what do we think about control? What do we also think about grief and lament and processing the seasons that are out of our control and yet are bringing pain? And what do we believe about God if we believe that he is in control and is having these circumstances? So that's kind of what the heart of the book is.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And yeah, just so many difficult and heartbreaking circumstances. And so something that you talk about in the book is that there's actually, and you've kind of alluded to this already, but there's a connection between the desire to control and the loss of control and then anxiety even just like in our brains in terms of how that works. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. So as we were walking through kind of a number of these circumstances in our lives, I'm friends with Dr. John Townsend, who is a psychologist, a Christian psychologist, and he's written a number of books. But he said that the negative emotion most closely associated with the lack of control is anxiety. And I heard him say that, and I knew immediately that to be true, at least in my own life. I could see kind of those waves of situations in my life where things were feeling very out of control, and see that my anxiety was very high in those seasons, kind of reflecting mm-hmm. back. And I don't know that I always was able to pinpoint it in the moment. And I would say I definitely wasn't able to early on. I feel like I've learned how to better kind of recognize my own anxiety. But I didn't have the tools necessarily to recognize that and process my anxiety in the moment. And so then that ended up actually affecting me long term. And for me, that was in the form of panic attacks. So I don't necessarily recognize my anxiety as an emotion. My anxiety shows up more in a physical sense, in that my body has panic attacks, which means I'll have moments where I like feel like I have tightness in my chest. It's hard to breathe, and I feel very anxious in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began having panic attacks about 9 months after Zion went into remission from her cancer. And I didn't necessarily understand why until I realized that I hadn't taken the time to really process through the anxiety that I had felt walking my daughter through cancer and a life-threatening diagnosis and all the things that that meant, being in emergency surgery, lots of hospitalizations, chemotherapy, and watching my 1.5-year-old have to endure all that.
Mm.
So there's definitely, you know, if people think about the circumstances of their life that were out of control, I bet they could at least recognize that there was a heightened level of anxiety they were experiencing.
Yeah.
And I think our own society is increasingly trying to grasp for control of things. Sharon Hod Miller wrote a book called The Cost of Control. And she writes about this kind of correlation between control and anxiety, and how the more that we've had, you know, increasing technology, become accustomed to being able to kind of have whatever we want in an instant. You can have your groceries delivered. You can find anything you need from Amazon and it's at your home, you know, within days. All of these things, you have social media that you can connect with anyone in the world. All these things that can kind of make us have this facade that we have so much control of our lives is actually making us more anxious, because mm-hmm. I think deep down we all know we actually don't have as much control as we wish we had over the things that really matter in life, right? I mean, you can't control when a devastating event is going to happen, or when someone's going to have a sudden health issue, or any of these things that, you know, we don't actually have control over.
Right.
So she had a really great book that we reference in our book, trying to help people recognize if we can see that in ourselves and this need to, or this desire that we have to want control, and that that's actually causing more anxiety, then that can be really helpful in taking steps then towards lessening our anxiety by letting go of that grasp that we want to hold on to of controlling the things in our lives when we know that we actually can't. And so when we hand that over to the Lord, that's a step towards finding more peace.
Yeah, so good. And I appreciated, you know, that information in the book as well. And I was even just looking this morning on just kind of anxiety rates and how they really, but among kind of our listenership, the 18 to 25-year-old range, anxiety rate is like really high and has gone up in recent years. And I think a lot of people feel that. And it's really helpful to be able to pinpoint, oh, okay, you know, these are some of the things that might be playing into that that I didn't even realize. So, such good information. So Jesus addressed anxiety head on. So can you talk about some of the ways that he spoke about anxiety and what he said?
Yeah, I think the most direct reference that probably people will remember once I start quoting it is Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So here's a teaching that is, you know, the first line I feel like makes me feel a little frustrated because it says, do not be anxious about anything. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, but life is, life is going to cause anxiety. So what do we mean? Like, just don't be anxious. So I see this though in the context of these action items. It says, but in every situation by prayer and petition, and then the promise that the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As a reminder that, one, the recognition that there is anxiety, there's going to be anxiety in life. And so I appreciate that this passage is acknowledging that. And then it's pointing us towards action. It's pointing us towards, hey, anxiety is going to come. So in order to not be anxious, go to the Lord in prayer. Present your requests to God. And then here's the promise. He will bring peace. So it's such a good reminder that whenever we are facing anxiety, whenever we're facing those seasons that are out of our control and navigating things that are hard, to go to prayer. That's not usually my first instinct. I usually am trying to be, take action items and make things better or fix things or go to other people that I think can fix things. But that's not going to ultimately be the relief of my anxiety. The relief from my anxiety is going to be trusting in God, going to Him in prayer, resting in His promises, and then allowing my heart to be reminded that He's in control. And as I do that, that His peace follows. Mm. And so it is a very proactive, but still way of processing our anxiety that I think is really useful for any time someone's facing something that's out of their control and the anxiety is rising, to remember to go to the Lord. And the practice of drawing near to Him allows us to more fully feel His presence. And His presence is what brings peace. And Michael and I write a lot in our book about how, you know, none of these challenges that we went through were things that we would have ever wanted to have to walk through. But one of the gifts that came from those challenging circumstances was more of God's presence in our lives. And a lot of that was because we were forced into crying out to Him in ways that I think I hadn't before, because life had been easy. And, you know, I say that relatively. I mean, like, I had a very blessed life. I had, a very stable home. I had the chance to go to school, you know, all of these things that life had just been somewhat easy. And then when I was faced with these really difficult, dark circumstances, I found a different way of relating to the Lord in that I wouldn't have had otherwise. And so it brought more of His presence in my life. And that really, you know, can be a gift that comes from those challenging circumstances in our lives. And this passage, Philippians 4:6, really points to that, is finding more of God, finding His peace, because that's what will guard our hearts and our minds. Is when we're in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. And I love that you point out that there are action items in there, not always the actions we naturally want to take, but it does give us things to do. So something else that Jesus said was that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Mm-hmm. That might be something else that people have heard quoted a lot if they grew up in church, but, it probably doesn't feel like that when you're walking through a season of pain or anxiety or loss. So can this be true? Can His burden truly be light even when you're walking through a dark time?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, that's so good. I love that. Yeah. So Matthew 11:28, right? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy as mine, and my burden is light. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. So you'll find, and then it goes on and says, you'll find rest for your souls. So that is such a beautiful passage, because it does seem a bit like when you're in the midst of it, the passage doesn't make sense. When you're in the midst of a hard season, you're like, wait, but like, I'm being obedient to the Lord. Like, maybe you're even finding challenges in your life because of your obedience to the Lord and circumstances that you're stepping into out of faith and obedience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like those challenges are coming. It can be in those moments that looking at this passage that Jesus says, you know, his yoke is easy and the burden is light. It's like, really? Mm-hmm. I don't know that it always feels that way though. But this passage is beautiful in that it reminds us that even in the midst of the hard things, we can have a lighter burden because we're not carrying it on our own. Christ is with us. And he invites us to come to him. God, the creator of the universe, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, says, come to me, all you who labor. And that is such a beautiful invitation that Jesus knows that we're going to face hard circumstances in life. And he's saying, come to me. And I feel like that's a beautiful picture of even in our hard circumstances, even if we're questioning God, even if we're doubting who he is, he still invites us to come to him. And that as we come to him, he is with us and his presence and his, promise that he's walking with us in these things can make the burden feel lighter and he will give us rest. And he is gentle and lowly in heart. And what humility that the God of all creation would humble himself, that he did come to earth and experience hardships himself. You know, Jesus walked through hardships. And so he knows what it's like to walk on this earth, to live these challenges of a fallen world. You know, Jesus faced friends that died and friends that were sick and friends, relationships that were broken and criticisms from those who didn't understand him, all of these things. And ultimately, Jesus faced death on the cross. You know, all of these things that brought challenges and suffering that Jesus can now empathize with us whenever we face challenges. And I'm so, so grateful for that. Just the beauty that is how God in his plan worked things out, that he sent his son because of his love for us, and that his son through his earthly experience now can relate to us and our challenges and invites us to come to him whenever we are in those challenges and wants to offer peace. So that's a beautiful gift. And I hope that for anyone that is walking through a challenging circumstance, I know it can be tempting to want to maybe push God away or feel like we can't trust in his goodness because of the hardships that have come or doubt what his plan is. But we do also know that God's promises that he will work all things together for our good. And so even if we can't see what God is doing in the midst of the darkest seasons of our lives, we can look at his character and the character that how he describes himself in scripture is good and loving and working things together for our good. And so even if we don't know what that means or how that's going to look in our life, we can trust that God is up to something, that God has a perspective of eternity in mind, and that he is in control. And so we rest in him. And that takes off such a burden for us to know that we are not having to, control all things. We're not having to fix everything. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to trust in God, and he is taking care of all things for our good and for his glory.
Yeah. So much good information, Lauren. I love all that you're sharing, and that this is stuff that you are really sharing from experience. And I wanted to talk a little bit more about, you know, when we are in that season of doubt, because, you know, one, I know that I have been in my own life. And so if you are listening and you feel like I'm doubting that God is good, or that he even exists, this is really, you know, hard for me. You're not alone. A lot of people go through those seasons. But Lauren, I know you already talked about having that eternal perspective. But for somebody who, you know, is in that season right now and they're trying to hang on to faith, but it's just really hard to see God's mm-hmm. goodness. Do you have, you know, any more practical advice of just like ways to constantly yeah. remind yourself of the truth that you need to hear?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So first of all, I think one of the things I do want to mention is that in the midst of those seasons, I think we do have to create the space for lament. Lament is just a word that means expressing our grief. And so for people that are walking through a hard situation or anything that's just causing pain or suffering or just difficulty that you're having to walk through, it's okay to lament and bring those negative emotions, whether it's sadness or anger, or frustration, bring that to the Lord and bring that to others. And so we don't do ourselves any favors whenever we just keep that locked up and we try to put on a strong face and just say like, nope, it's all going to be fine. Because God created us with emotions. That's a part of who he created us to be, is to have emotion, to be able to feel both positive and negative emotions. And so we honor the Lord whenever we acknowledge how we are feeling about things and express those in healthy ways in order to process that. And so I think lament is such an important part of that step towards our emotional healing that can also draw us near to the Lord, even in when we're not feeling like it. Mm. So that means, you know, expressing how we honestly feel to God and knowing that he's big enough and strong enough that he created us. He knows us. He already knows. So as we go to him with our honesty about how we're feeling, that's at least a step of opening that door of that relationship with the Lord, and that we are going to him. And also then go to other people, go to your community, safe people who can hear you share about the things that are going on in your life that are really hard. I referenced Dr. Diane Langberg in the book because she had a really helpful, practical, tangible way for me to remember just kind of some of the steps towards processing grief or challenges. And it was all with the letter T. It was three action items that all start with T, which was super helpful. So Dr. Diane Langberg is a therapist, a Christian counselor, and has written a number of books, but she said that moving towards healing takes talking, which is what I already mentioned, like talking both to God and to a community of safe people. It takes time, right? Like they say time heals all wounds. I don't necessarily love the heals all wounds. I mean, I think wounds, they stick with us. They leave a scar, but mm-hmm. time certainly does make them more bearable because yeah. you kind of learn how to move forward in light of your reality. And then tears, right? Like taking the time to let that emotion, to really feel the emotions and to shed those tears and to let yourself metabolize how you are feeling through the form of tears. So those are three steps that I think are practical of how do we lament? How do we process through our grief? And I think in the process of doing that, that allows us to draw near to the Lord when we trust him with that and our community. When we share that with our community and allow them to walk in and support us, that is also a way that can strengthen our faith because our friends can encourage us in our faith whenever we feel weak, and they can encourage us in trusting in the Lord, but also in just holding the pain with us, right? I mean, I'm so grateful for my friends that have just over the years been good at listening and empathizing and just saying like, man, I am so sorry. This is so hard. I love you. And that, you know, they're not fixing it, but they're there with me.
Yeah.
Which is such a gift that we can offer one another whenever people are walking through those pain points in life. So, I think that's, hopefully just a few, kind of practical things that we can do that opens the relationship to the Lord, even when we don't feel like it. As well as the encouragement to allow your community to be that as well.
Yeah. Oh, just great advice. I love that. Talking time and tears. And I really like that you highlighted the importance of lament and being able to take that process and go through that. And also the importance of community. That's kind of been a recurring theme on the Know Why podcast in many different topics that we've discussed, but just it's so vital as humans. We need God, but we need each other. We were made to walk in community with other people. And having that community when you walk through these hard times is just so critical. So thank you for emphasizing that as well. You have shared a lot of great information. And thank you again, Lauren, just for your vulnerability and sharing your testimony and your story and writing the book Beyond Our Control, because I just know that that is helpful to so many people. I enjoyed it tremendously and got a lot out of it. But before we wrap up, are there any other resources that you would like to recommend?
Yeah. So I mentioned Diane Langberg and John Townsend already. So both of them have written lots of books that people can look their stuff up, and they have great resources. But I'd also say my friend Esther Fleece wrote a book, No More Faking Fine, and she really helps kind of unpack what it looks like to understand the practice of lament. And that was a very helpful book for me. I think it was not, lament was not an easy thing for me to understand or to step into personally, and she helped really give a biblical framework for that. So that was a great book. And I mentioned The Cost of Control by Sharon Hodmiller. That also is just another resource that I think if people are walking through particular situations that feel like control is something they're grappling with, that was another resource that was really helpful from, again, a biblical perspective, like thinking through how do we deal with control and honestly our lack of control in life. So there's a couple resources that I've found helpful, as well as just obviously the scripture. You know, the scripture holds the truest of truth. There's nothing else out there that could be a better resource for us than just diving into God's word and what he says himself. So I encourage people to be going to the scripture, of course, for their hope and their foundation.
Well, thanks again, Lauren, for sharing all of your wisdom. And thank you for listening to the Know Why podcast.